I'm Cliff Kelly, Vietnam veteran and host of America's Heroes Group, the game changer in radio, print, and digital media programming. We are a roundtable talk show where information, resources, and referrals are provided intentionally every Saturday to empower our military population on WVON 1690 AM, the iHeart Radio app from 4 to 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Please visit our website at www.americashg.org.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to America's Heroes Group Roundtable Partner Veterans Court with Judge Hooks, Attorney Lori Roper, and Attorney Brian Scanlon. We are here, and our panelists are calling in to talk to you today, and I am so pleased and honored to have them on the phone. We have a panelists who are calling on Lori Roper, the Cook County attorney, and is the supervisor of the problem-solving courts. And we also have Brian Scanlon, Cook County Assistant Attorney in the Public Defender Office, and Doug Meffley joined in 2018 as co-director of the Honor Flight Chicago, grandson of two World War II Army veterans, and Melvin Fonville. He's a U.S. Army veteran and Veteran Treatment Court Program Services participant. Melvin is an applicant awaiting Honor Flight Chicago, and the discussion today is going to be centering around Honor Flight Chicago. So welcome, everyone. And Lori, if you want to lead in and make some opening comments, and then we'll have everyone join in.
And I want to say I'm still with you, folks.
Oh yes, oh, Cliff Kelly, huh?
Listen, he does such a great job. You know, we all love him. He says, he doesn't need to be here today. We got. I love him. This is great. He's already made the introduction, and thank you much. Who wants to start off?
Mm-hmm. Well, hi, Cliff. This is Lori.
Hey, Lori. How you doing?
Hi. I just wanted to say, first off, we're very, very excited to be on the show today, and we're happy to have Doug on the show. As you know, Brian is an attorney who is assigned to the Veterans Treatment Court at 26 in California in front of the Honorable Judge William Hooks.
Absolutely.
So we will have Brian give us some information on Doug and what he does with the Honor Flight. And Melvin, of course.
Great.
Well, Doug, of course, Cliff, it's great to be back again.
Great, yes. Thank you so much for joining us. Go right ahead.
I always get bragging rights by saying I know the governor of talk radio, Cliff Kelly.
I appreciate that.
I'd like to just start with, yes, we're in the Veterans Treatment Court, and one of our, as we've discussed before, our goals is about the self-directed life, and part of the self-directed life is that we reach out to groups that give our veterans incentives to really refocus on their lives. And part of this is the honor flights. People who have accomplished so much for our country and themselves get this ability to go see the memorials and to reinforce what they've done for us. And what we have here today, we have Doug, who when the participants reach a certain level in our courtroom, they fill out an application to be considered for the honor flights. And Melvin is one of my very favorites. He's such a great, gregarious and excited man to come here and meet you, Cliff. And I would just like them to be able to just say hello.
That is great. Hello. Hello, hello. How are you?
That's fantastic, Brian. I'm right here, Brian. Thank you so much, and Cliff, and everybody for having me. And the way you describe Melvin, man, I can't wait to get him on our flights.
This is just going to be a great thing. This whole thing with the honor flight. I think that I don't know how that started, guys, but and lady, but it's such a great idea, isn't it?
And Doug, could you tell us how the Honor Flight's the inception and the inspiration of it?
Yeah, absolutely. So Honor Flights as a nationwide movement started back in 2005, and it was all born out of the World War II Memorial. So that memorial wasn't completed until 2004, which is 60 years after the end of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
So by that time, so many of our World War II veterans were on fixed incomes or of an age where travel was tough. And so it was actually started in Ohio by a couple of gentlemen who recruited some of their World War II friends and took them to D.C. to see the World War II Memorial, and it quickly spread from there. So our hub in Chicago is one of 125 around the whole country that have sprung out of this movement. We started in Chicago in 2008, and since that date, we've flown 95 times, and we've flown over 8,700 veterans to D.C., which is the most of any hub in the country.
Oh, repeat that, please. That is just great.
Yeah, so we've flown 8,728 total veterans. That's World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War to Washington, D.C. And we were scheduled this year to have our 100th flight, but that'll wait. We'll have that very soon in the future, and we're really excited about that.
That is... I didn't have any. Well, I know how great this thing is, but I didn't know it was that many people. I think that's just.
And when was the last flight, Doug?
So our last flight was last October was the last time we flew. We generally will fly between April and October each year. Otherwise, the winter gets a little dicey with weather in D.C. And here as well. But then with COVID and the pandemic and just the safety of our veterans and traveling, we've had to postpone all of our 2020 flights.
Go right ahead.
No, I was going to say probably the same thing you are about, Cliff. How does one qualify?
Exactly.
Absolutely. So we fly what we call our senior war veterans, and it started with the World War II vets. We expanded to include Korean War veterans in 2016, and then last year was the first year that we flew Vietnam War veterans as well. And what our qualifications are is that you serve during a time of war, and we have specific dates for each war period, and that you were active duty and that you were honorably discharged, and that's it. We don't care where you served or in what capacity you served. What we care about is that you served your country during a time of war, and that service deserves our thanks.
Wow.
When you say wow, yeah.
Yes.
That's just amazing. I mean, to think that we still have many veterans who are, veterans from the World War II war and of the Greatest Generation. And that we still have World War II vets that can take part in these flights is just amazing.
Sure.
We do, yeah. We have about a couple dozen on our wait list right now. And we had a new one, a new World War II veteran, a 97-year-old gentleman from the south side of Chicago who signed up 2 weeks ago. So
they're
still out there. They're still out there looking to find them.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yep. I was fortunate enough, folks, to see a group because I happened to be at the airport. It had nothing to do with the Honor Flight or whatever. They were coming back, and it was just a thrill to see them. Just that they had been there, and that's a super thing that they're doing. I just continue to do it.
Yeah,
that's great. Well, Melvin, what are you thinking hearing all these great things about the Honor Flight?
Well, I just like to say I think it's a privilege for me being a vet and being considered just for the Honor Flight. And I just like to say Judge Hood, Brian, and Tamika Walker, I think that's a wonderful team that they do for veterans like me who's trying to pick their life back up together. I mean, since I've been in the Veterans Court, there's so many things, good things that happened to me. I was able to get off the street from being homeless. I got my own apartment. I got a job. I'm clean, and it's unspeakable now, I'm just thankful that I had the opportunity just to be in drug court. I mean, in veteran sport. It truly has changed my life now. And with the team I got working with me, Brian, Judge Hooks, Tamika Weifel, and so many others, it's just a privilege. I just can't speak enough about veteran sport.
And Melton,
isn't that great?
Great.
Have that much. That's just great. That really is.
Mm-hmm. And Melton is a great mentor for the other people in Veterans Treatment Court. He makes sure he reaches out to them and shows them the mm-hmm. progress he made. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right, Melton?
Yes, and it wouldn't happen if it weren't for Judge Hoods. I give you another opportunity, and you, Brian, fighting for me, yeah. and Tamika Walker, and so many other people. I can't really name them, but I've been having a wonderful support team, you know that mean. So I'm looking forward to being out and going on that mm-hmm. on that, like on a flight. What a veteran! Like I said, there's so many things that happened to me in my life being in Veterans Court. I just can't explain it. You know that. Yeah. Man, I'm so overwhelmed now.
Cliff, I'm just so happy that you get to meet somebody from our program.
Sure, right. What else do we need to know, Lori? Tell us more.
Well, I would just, if I could interrupt Lori for a second and ask Doug, have you been able to see about Melvin's application?
Well, we have. We have it on file. He qualifies, and he is on our wait list. So we fly our Vietnam veterans based on the date they get their application. So we have a pretty good list of folks who are waiting to go, and Melvin's a part of that. So as soon as we're able to start flying again, once COVID's done, we're going to fly through that list as quickly as possible, and he's going to have his day of honor.
And Cliff, I hope I'm not letting the cat out of the... Go ahead.
Laura, did you say something?
No, I was just wondering how big of an aircraft this is. I mean, approximately.
Oh, okay.
On a flight.
Yeah, that's a great question. So we charter with Southwest. We always fly out of Midway. Mm-hmm. So we get an entire Southwest airplane just to ourselves. There are 143 seats on that plane, and our goal is to have at least 100 veterans on each of our flights. So every veteran that flies with us has what we call a guardian for the day, a one-on-one person who takes care of every need and every wish that they may have, makes sure they're safe and comfortable throughout the day. And a lot of those folks are actually veterans themselves or active duty military who we meet in Washington, D.C. So that allows us to have more and more veterans on the plane itself, which is great. So it enables us to fly, having 8,700 veterans that we've flown. We wouldn't have gotten to that number without all these great volunteers.
That's wonderful.
Does the airline acknowledge this in some way?
Yeah, Southwest is fantastic to us. So they're fairly active throughout the Honor Flight Network, but they kind of bend over backwards for us. At the gate, we do some special things. We do some special things on the plane. And they always have for us our crew. Our flight crew and the flight attendants on the plane are always veterans themselves. So there's this camaraderie between the Southwest folks, and yeah, it's really cool. Wow.
Working a plane? They're veterans.
They're veterans. Exactly right.
Oh, that's great. That is great. I don't think I knew that.
Yeah.
And that was not me. So, Doug, is there anything that you guys are doing because you are shut down for COVID? Are you doing anything in place of the honor flights or anything like that? Or are you just on standby?
We are. So I wouldn't say it's in place of the flight because everyone is still going to get their day of honor eventually. But what we're doing in the meantime is we've started this. It's a really simple program, but it's made a big impact. And it's just placing yard signs like you'd see outside of someone's home for a graduation or something like that that says Honor Flight Chicago salutes you, and it's meant as a personal message to the veterans on our wait list. And then on the other side of the sign, it identifies what war they fought in. So World War II or Korean War or Vietnam War veteran. Mm-hmm. And so our volunteers have been going around to the homes as we go down our wait list, and we're going to get to everyone on our wait list throughout the summer. And they get to put the sign in the yard or a decal in a window. We have those for folks that maybe don't have a yard or want that as an option instead. and they're getting to talk to the veteran and make sure the veteran understands that, you know, even though we can't fly right now, we still appreciate you. We still want to say thank you in some small way.
Sure.
And we're going to get to you as soon as we can.
Well, I don't know, and I'm sure you do, how all this originated, but whomever did a great job, because this is something, you know, these folks should never be forgotten, whatever war it is, right?
Never, never.
Thank you.
And it's not even it's not even so much a forgotten thing as they never got the thanks like this, like they deserve in the first place, especially our Vietnam War veterans.
Oh, yeah.
We want to make sure that they hear that thank you and that they hear that welcome home, because they deserve it.
I think it's great. It's great. What about what about women? How many women have been involved? Does anybody? Lori, do you know?
I don't know specifically. Let me see. Does you all keep those kind of numbers in terms of how many women actually are participating in the honor flight?
Yeah, not exactly. I don't have the exact number for you, but I can tell you that, especially with our World War II veterans, there were a number of women who flew with us, who were Army, who were WACs or in other areas of the service throughout World War II. We flew, I think last year we flew 6 or 7 women were all that we had. However, I will say we were planning this October to have to be partners in an all-women's veteran flight from Illinois. It was going to be the first of its kind, at least in this state.
I'm sorry, repeat that. It's going to be what?
So in October of this year, and it's postponed now until 2021, we're partners with a group called Operation Her Story. And that group is an all-women veterans flight from the same time frame that we fly, World War II, Korean War, and Vietnam War. But it'll be a plane full of over 100 only women veterans. We'll have a special itinerary for them in D.C. And just it's going to be a blown out, really cool event to make sure that we put those women's stories in the forefront. So that'll be coming now at a date to be determined in 2021.
Well, yeah, we'll have to really make sure we advertise that. That is nothing short of fantastic. That's just great.
Yeah,
that's great.
And Cliff, while we have Mel's in here, he can also tell you that one of the goals was the honor flight. Another was his participation in the chess program, and the other incentives that he have. I just can't speak enough to the transformation that Melvin has gone through from the beginning when I first met him till he is now, and we just. So thankful to have him on the show to share this with anybody in the listening audience who might have any questions.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Did you want to say more? You should.
Yes, I just like to say, you know.
Please do. Yeah, go right ahead.
This is first and minimal thing that happened for me being in Veterans Court. Because it's truly turned my whole life around. You know, when I came in Veterans Court, I didn't know what was happening. And I also like to thank another person, and I think he retired, which he was a good exploration. A good exploration is Judge Fox, you know that? And it's us veterans really have an opportunity that sometimes people don't have. I'm so glad I'm a veteran, because, like I say, Veterans Court can turn my life around. I'm working, I got a job, I'm clean, I got my family back. And it's just, like I say, it's unspeakable, you know that? I mean, he was really careful for you. I just like to thank Brian, too, for, you know, just inviting me to this program and be able to talk about some experience that I had as Veterans Corps. I mean, that's a great opportunity. I mean, man, it really changed my life. And I'm a senior, so, you know, being at my age now, you know, time is sort of like running out. And I'm just glad I really got myself back together again.
I don't want to hear you say about time is running out. Okay, you not don't talk about me now. Don't do this.
Hey, I'm up there, you know. Hey, I'm getting up there, but I just I'm glad I put it together. You know that I mean, veteran sports, it helped save my life. You know.
Yeah. I know. Yeah.
Yeah, Cliff, you know, this, I was wondering whether they, whether the veteran fights also, you know, the fights also cover disabled veterans, you know, because we have so many veterans who have disabilities now who were injured in the war and in the wars. So is that something that is taken care of as well, or how does that manage?
That's a great question, Dr. Arnold. What about that? Our co-host is talking about Dr. Colonel.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we fly. There's very few things that will keep us from flying a veteran. We provide wheelchairs for those who need them from the moment they get to the airport in the morning to the moment that they leave the airport at night, and that's part of what those guardians provide. So we've flown amputees before. We have flown veterans who are blind before. We've flown veterans with a number of disabilities. And now with our Vietnam veterans, you know, PTSD is something we pay very close attention to in making sure the veteran is comfortable and safe throughout the day. So yeah, absolutely. There's very few things that will keep us from flying a veteran in terms of health and ability.
That's great. That is really great. And, of course, there's methods by which people can apply. And what's the best way that someone could get at least be involved in consideration?
Absolutely. So the best way, the easiest way is to go to our website, which is just honorflightchicago.org, just our name, honorflightchicago.org.
Okay.
And then we always have folks in our office, volunteers in our office. And if they're not there, we'll return every voicemail. And our number there is 773-227-8387.
Okay. Repeat that one, please.
Absolutely. 773-227-8387.
That's great. That's great. I'm sure that's, you know, that's got to be such a wonderful event for so many people. Mm-hmm. That would never even have a consideration, wouldn't even think about something like that. You know, the folks who came up with that and all of you people that work with it, and I know most of you, of course, you're just some great people doing some great things for some other great people.
Yeah. You know, how does someone find out more about the Honor Flight and sign up for it or, you know, get you know, more information on it? Do you have a website or phone number, or how do people find out about it?
Good point. Yeah, Dr. Arnold wants to know that.
Yeah, yep. Honorflightchicago.org is the best place to find out more information, and all of our applications are there. We'll put application in the mail to you. If you don't have a printer at home or don't, you know, and you're not an internet person, we'll send it to your doorstep. So we'll try to make it as easy as we can to get you signed up.
Okay, great.
Now, Doug, is there any mechanism to include family members, maybe for an elderly person or somebody who just is afraid to travel alone?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We do. So I would say about 20% of those one-to-one guardians that I talked about are family members, and we reserve those seats for those veterans who need that family assistance, maybe with medication or comfort, a fear of flying, like you say. But otherwise, we try to keep our family involvement. There are some other ways that they're involved in the day that are really special that I don't want to spoil surprises, but we get the family as involved as we can.
Now, does the flight occur on one day? So you leave at one point a time, like in the morning, and then you come back in the evening? Or how does that run, the day run?
That's right. It's a one-day flight.
Yeah.
It's a long day. It's a long, long day, but you're running on adrenaline and
oh yeah,
it's an exciting day. So we don't see the tired eyes that you would expect in the evening after a day that's that long.
No, I think it's really amazing.
Oh, it's super. As I mentioned to you earlier, I happened to be fortunate enough to be at the airport when a group came in, and just. You could tell how, although they had been gone all day, you could still tell how excited they were because the day was just full of nothing but wonderful things, you know, and it's just a great thing.
Yeah. And it's good just to Cliff, you know, that you're bringing that up. It's just so good to see the veterans see the country they built and have the emblems of it, you know, the national monuments, and, you know, just to see what they brought this country to. Without them, we would probably not even be here. So
that's true.
I'm just really happy that that they had this opportunity to see the in fruition the symbols of the accomplishments they made by their sacrifices, and the families making the sacrifices as well.
Yeah.
Very well put. Yeah.
And if I could ask one last question, Doug, does this include reserves and National Guard?
Good question.
It's a very good question. And so if you were in the reserves or National Guard and your unit was called on to active duty, which happens, then we would consider you. But otherwise, we do require active duty service for this.
Excellent.
Excellent.
Yeah, but if your unit is called up, then you're part of it, right?
Exactly right.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, we're getting close to closing time, so we're actually going to be moving on to a commercial break, but we wanted to thank all the panelists, Lori, Brian, Doug, and Nelson also. I'm really happy about these stories and what you've been doing. And Cliff, you can take us out into that next break.
Okay. Thank you all. It's great. My co-host, of course, is Colonel Dr. Damon Arnold. Is America's Heroes Group. And we're always pleased to come out and have such great information. It's 5 o'clock. Stay with us. We'll be back with more after this.